You probably noticed in your own life that most people do not wait patiently. You see it every day if you drive around the city anywhere. As soon as the light turns green, within a flash of a second, somebody's tooting their horn. So everybody seems to be so patient about all of these things. But just think about that in your own life. When you ask the kids to do something, you expect it to happen right now. When you ask your spouse that you would like something or that she would like something, you expect it to happen right now. Well, it doesn't always work that way if you're really honest and, you know, and kind of look at life as it really is. But it doesn't seem to change the fact that we still want things done right now. We don't wait patiently. Waiting is very, very difficult for us. So you can imagine, say, if we have that problem, say, on a daily basis, can you imagine what the chosen people had to, how they had to suffer and wait and wait? Isaiah wrote that prophecy that in the year 701 B.C., 700 years before the birth of Christ. And he's telling the people, you have to keep in mind the promises that one day a Savior will come to rescue our people. And when that happens, there will be peace in the world. All the people of the world will fly to the holy mountain because God is present there. They considered that his home. That all people from all over the world would come to that because they're attracted by the life and the light that God can give. He's telling the people there will be such peace that all of our weapons that we use for destruction, for war, we won't need them anymore. We can use them as instruments of industry, of help, of growth. We can change all of that. But he said, you have to be patient. You have to be. Now, this is 700 years before the time of Christ. So the people, you know, they're kind of like we are. They get very committed for a while, and then nothing's happening, or nothing that they see is happening. So they get kind of careless, and maybe eventually begin to doubt, and maybe eventually reject the whole concept that this really is not going to happen. But Isaiah says it will happen, and you have to trust, and you have to persevere, and you have to remain faithful to what has been revealed to us. See, in St. Paul was preaching 50 years after the time of Christ, and he was already having problems because the people expected the second coming of Christ to be very quick. I don't know if they were expecting a year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, but when it wasn't happening in that period of time, the people began to get very restless, just like the people way back in Isaiah's time. And they began to say, well, is this ever going to happen? Is it necessary to carry on following these commands and these teachings and this way of life when we don't see it happening? How do we know this was real? How do we know that Christ is really going to follow through? So it's a matter of a test. It's testing faith. And St. Paul had to deal with that. So he tried to tell the people, look, it doesn't make any difference when the time comes. What Christ is asking us to do is to be ready. Because we don't know when this glorious coming at the end of time, when Jesus comes to judge all the people of the universe, we don't know when that's going to happen. Maybe most of us will still be alive for however many years, but we don't expect that end to come. But I guess St. Paul says, but there is about all of this. And that is that every one of us is going to come to that judgment, but we don't know when. So even though we may not be living on the face of the earth, when the final judgment comes, we're all going to face a judgment. And so St. Paul is trying to tell the people, whenever that time comes that you are going to face your Maker, make sure that you are ready. And you will be ready if you follow what he has asked you to do, that you love one another, that you are kind to one another, that you respect one another, that you respect the rights of one another, that you respect the property of one another, that you keep faith in the Son of God, who told you that he would forgive you and he would save you if you are willing to work with him. And so none of us is very patient about this. Advent kind of starts off with this, just letting us know how really impatient and how poor we are at waiting. Waiting in line at Disney, or waiting in line in the supermarket, or waiting in line on Black Friday, or whatever it may be. We're just not patient. Waiting in line at a stoplight, trying to get out of the parking lot after Mass. You know, we just don't have that kind of patience. But Jesus said it's important, because you don't know when the time is coming for you or anybody else, or for the end of the world. Nobody knows that. So he said, be alert, be ready all the time. So in the season of Advent, we're kind of reminded how extremely important this waiting time is for us. That it's really a time for us to grow. It's a time for us to grow in Christ. It's not just a time to prepare our hearts for Christmas. We celebrate that every year. It's a beautiful feast and we all should celebrate. But the preparation is, how do we welcome Christ into this world now, in our own personal lives? How do we make that happen? He said that's what we should be working on during the season of Lent. The theme of the season is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So we know he was born 2,000 years ago. We know he already lives among us. We know he has already redeemed us and saved us. We know all of that. So it's not just, okay, we're preparing our hearts for Christmas, and then day after Christmas we go back to our routine. Now what we are trying to do is to make Christ really present in our world by the lives that we live, by allowing him to live and grow within us, that his influence is within us, that his love is within us, that his patience is within us. All of these things that he taught us when he walked the face of the earth, care for other people, all of these things, honesty, all of these things that he taught us in his lifetime. He wants us to bring that into our own lives now, so that we can influence the world, so that we can really approach the season of Christmas and the rest of our lives with peace, with love, making our world a different place, not just tolerating all the violence and all the death and all the stupidity and all the other stuff. We don't have to tolerate that. We do because we live here, but we can change it. We have that ability to change that when we welcome Christ into our lives, so that he truly is born into our spirit, not just for a season, but for our lifetime. So it doesn't mean now that because we're going to really work hard for the next 4 weeks to prepare our own hearts, but it means that once that is done, we never stop. So it's come, Lord Jesus, not for a season, for a lifetime. So then when we reach the end of our journey, we will be, as the Lord said, you will be ready. You will be alert. You will be watchful. Because throughout your lifetime, you will be working to bring Christ to life within your life. And in that way, you will influence and touch our world and transform our world into what Christ wants us to be. So don't waste the season by being impatient, by beginning to doubt, by questioning, is it worth all of this effort? Is it worth all the sacrifice? Is it worth the pain? Is it worth all these other things? Yes, it is. Christ makes promises he fulfills. It may not happen in our lifetime that the end of the world comes. Hopefully it does not. But there will be an end for our lives, each and every one of us, when we will face our Lord, and he will look at us and say, were you ready? Were you watchful? Did you care? Did you work to really make me known to the people as you promised you would through your baptism? Come, Lord Jesus. Come to life within us, and then you will certainly be present in our world and change our world. So our theme, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come.